Glitch Free Gaming.
Hey everyone, it's another episode of Glitch Free Gaming. It's episode number 150. Hooray!
We made it.
We made it. 150, that's it. We can go home now.
That was the goal.
Yep.
If you rewind back to podcast one, we said we're going to do 150 of these and then stop.
Yes.
It's really hard to find podcast one now, so you can't confirm or deny.
Exactly.
Only Paul knows.
Yep, and we've barred him from talking about it, so it's okay.
He's under embargo.
Cool. Yes, we're back again. Doing what we do, talking nonsense about games. It's just Kieran and myself this week. Nice. Things have kind of slowed down a little bit after E3. We're kind of in sort of a quiet lull before the storm of all the games will be coming out sort of between July and August, really.
I won't be able to afford any of them.
Exactly, yeah. So it just means that we can play a couple of games at the moment and things like that. Cool. So let's do that then. Or not play the games, or talk about the games you've played.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. What have you been playing?
Not a massive amount, weirdly enough.
Right.
Not a massive amount of new stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
So, you know, the usual little things like Overwatch, and played a little bit of, you know, kind of the same open world games I always go back to kill time when my brain is dead.
Yes.
So like Mad Max and a little bit Just Cause 3, which is still so broken. But then I've been off work sick the last couple of days, so not me too well. And
all right,
I spent a lot of that time sitting playing Life is Strange, which I bought a while ago. We talked about on the Game of the Year podcast.
We did indeed, yeah.
But I had only played the first episode at that point.
All right, okay.
And I have now completed the whole series.
Excellent.
I can't remember, did you finish the whole series of Life is Strange? Or
no, I didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't. It's one of those that I do need to sit and play and work my way through.
I definitely recommend it. It was one of those things where I wasn't super into it with episode one, but then people kept saying that it goes really cool places, and they were definitely right. Like, episode two is a little bit better than episode one, but episode three onward, it kind of picks up pace, and it starts doing a lot more interesting things with its kind of its tone and its characters and stuff like that.
Right, okay.
It's a lot of fun. Probably one of my favourite of those kind of games, you know, like the Telltale style adventure game. I really like what they did with it, how they handled choices.
I really like the choices and the whole sort of time travel mechanic.
Yeah.
And
everything in the game revolves around that time travel mechanic, and
they
use it in some really smart ways.
Yes, yeah.
That I can't mention because it'd be spoilery.
Yes, yeah. I love that game when myself and Stuart from Reader's Gambit, not Reader's Gambit, he's going to kill me now, Gaming Eagles, when Stuart and myself went to EGX and we went to C Square and they brought out the guys from Don't Nod and they presented that to us and we got to see a little bit of it. We both went away from it saying this was going to be really good. And it is. I think it's better than any of the Telltale games. I think it's better than The Wolf Within and
The Wolf Among Us. I've not played The Wolf Among Us yet, so I still, it's that's the one people are into.
Yeah, it's an amazing game. I think this is a better game. Because they're slightly different, you know, the Wolf Among Us and the Telltale games are more point and clicky.
Yeah, I think there's a bit more puzzle solving in Life is Strange.
Yes, yeah.
Especially later on, you kind of use those time travel mechanics too. But it's also kind of weird because to some degree a lot of it is optional. So a lot of the puzzles that you kind of have necessarily need to solve. It just gives you different... You can basically just... Instead of doing the usual kind of telltale thing and being like, oh, you can either do this or this to make this choice. It'll do something along the lines of put you in a conversation with someone that will flow kind of relatively normally, and then you'll learn a bit of information towards the end of that conversation that would change the start of the conversation if you knew it.
Yes.
The conversation will end and you can go and continue on the game, or you can rewind and then complete the conversation knowing that bit of information earlier, changing the whole flow of it just because that's how you want it to go.
Yes.
And it uses that in some really cool ways.
Yeah. I do like how the beginning of the game, so the first episode, it introduces you to that, and it encourages you to mess with the world and replay the conversations over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, just so you can see, is that something that I would find useful, or, and sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't.
Yeah.
It is a really cool mechanic.
Yeah.
I love the aesthetic of that game as well. The
aesthetic's great. Like, all the textures look like weirdly kind of hand painted.
Yes.
And
they actually were.
Yeah, it works really well. It doesn't just look like the thing that always comes up to with similar games like this is the Game of Thrones Telltale game that has that really terrible watercolor filter over the whole thing.
Oh god, yeah.
And that doesn't work because it's just a filter over everything to make it look like this. This feels like they actually just made these kind of painted textures and they're quite cool.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things for me is just like the story. Like, I'm obviously not going to mention much of it because it's, you know, super spoilery because it is a story-based game and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of games that make me feel connected to a character and like to the point where I care about the outcome of their, you know, their story. But then the character, she's introduced in the first episode, not even the main character though. The main character's kind of relatively forgettable. She's, I guess, somewhat meant to be a relatively blank slate to let you, you know,
she's kind of she's the vessel in which the story takes place.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's got a lot of character and stuff, but very much like her opinions about things are to some degree
your opinions.
Yeah, exactly. They're kind of shapeable. The choices she makes, she makes will always make sense in the context of you, you know, making them.
Yes. Yeah.
But the main side character, Chloe, is a really good character. If I'd played all this before our Game of the Year awards, I would have been putting her in like the best character thing.
Right.
Like,
okay.
She is outstanding, and to the point where, like, you, at least I did. Me and my girlfriend, we sat and played through all these episodes together, and
right,
by
okay.
then we were just like, you know, super invested in how her story showed like ended up. Like, she's basically the main person you get to, and like your choices will influence throughout the game. You influence a ton of people, but she's kind of the main one. But I won't go into anything else because it's a bit too spoilery, but
cool.
Yeah, she's a really cool character.
All right, excellent.
Other than Life is Strange, oh god, what else I played? Played more Fire Emblem. I'm still on the same mission. That game's really hard.
Right. I am Fire Emblem. I think I'm on chapter 23 now. I think there is up to chapter 20. Is it 26 or 28? Either way, I'm not too far away from it.
And
is, yeah, it's now. It's getting very, very difficult. So I've had a couple of run-throughs at the level that I'm on at the moment, and on one of them, I think I lost four characters.
Jeez.
And it was like, no, that's just not going to help.
It's too many.
Yeah. I am also at the point now where I have, you know, I've taken characters that I kind of like. You probably find this as well, the certain characters, you meet them along the way and you either like the way that they look or you like the fact that maybe they do close range attacks and long range or whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, and you tend to pick them and I tend to favour them. I don't tend to swap my characters out as much.
Yeah.
So now what's happened is I've got a whole load of characters and they're leveled up decently and they're fine. Other characters now, if I brought them in, I'd probably need to do some grinding to bring them up to the same level.
Yeah. So you don't want any of your main guys to die, partly because you like them, but partly because their backup is on their level.
Yeah. But still a fantastic game. I think I have a sneaking suspicion this is going to be on our Game of the Year list for a wee.
Yeah. It's definitely up there.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent. What else have you been playing?
I picked up a couple of things in the Steam sale, but then didn't play a massive amount of them.
Right.
Actually, that's a lie. I only picked up one thing in the Steam sale. I picked up Lumino City, which I've talked about before. I played at EGX last year.
Oh, yeah.
It's the sequel to Loom, and it's a point-and-click adventure game, and it's all done with a kind of... not quite papercraft, because it's all made out of like metal and stuff like that, but it's made... I don't know if they made it like actually out of real stuff, but at the very least they made it look as close to like being made out of real stuff as possible for all the level designs. To the point where at EGX last year, next to their booth, they had a big sculpture that was kind of the main city from the game.
Right.
Built up to look exactly how it looks in the game. This is a cool, pretty little light-hearted adventure game. Like proper old-school point-and-click.
All right,
solve a bunch of puzzles, that kind of stuff.
Cool.
And it's pretty cheap just now, so... Steam sale's always good. I also picked up something that wasn't actually on sale called Valhalla. Which is... spelled bizarrely because it's a weird cyberpunk game. So it's spelled VA-11HALL-A.
Right.
So the idea is that it's kind of the location in this kind of futuristic cyberpunky city that the bar that this game is set in. So Valhalla is like this kind of weird visual novel-y thing where you play as a bartender in a cyberpunk bar, which is kind of like really cool. So you can just like have conversations with these different clientele at the bar, and you serve them drinks, and it's kind of you choose the music that comes on the jukebox, and all the music's really good, and it's got this weird kind of retro anime kind of pixely look that's really pretty. I've not played a massive amount of it yet, but it's a cool thing. It's worth checking out. It just came out like last week, I think, maybe this week.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty awesome. I think it has branching like stories and stuff like that, but I've not played enough of it to really know yet.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, so Valhalla. It's on PC and Mac just now, and I think it's coming to Vita and iPad at some point later this year.
Right, okay.
Which will be cool.
Cool.
Interesting to see something come to Vita. It's not a common thing.
I know, you don't get bloody much for it now.
Yeah. It's a dead system, unfortunately.
I know. Every time you say that, I get sad as well.
There's a bunch of stuff on sale just now. Sony has a sale on.
Oh, yeah. I didn't actually... check it out on the Vita. Do you know that the big in Japan sale?
Yeah.
I
didn't buy anything on the PS4 one, and I didn't look on the Vita. I probably should.
I was having a look. I was thinking on picking up. There's a game. I don't think it's in the big in Japan sale. It's on the one of the other sales. Is it's the Lone Wolf game.
So
it's an RPG, but it's based on the Joe Diva books, the Lone Wolf books from many, many years ago, around about the 80s. And it's these the Choose Your Own Adventure book.
Oh, yeah. I remember you mentioned this before, actually.
Yeah. So that is... it looks quite good. It seems to be... a mixture between the old ways the books worked, so it's got elements of the books and you choose what you're doing, but then it also has this third-person combat and RPG turn-based thing to it as well. And it's just based on the kind of videos that you see on the PlayStation Store. I think it's £5 at the moment, so I was thinking about getting that one. And what was the other one I was thinking of picking up as well? Blue Estate.
Is that's the Unreal shooter, isn't it?
Yes.
I remember not hearing great things about that.
Well, I downloaded the demo for that yesterday and I had a quick shot of it. And I'll explain later why I did that as well. But it looks quite fun. It reminded me of House of the Dead a little bit. What was the one they had? It was done like the pulp.
Overkill.
Overkill, yes. Yeah, it reminded me of that. It's got a little bit over the top humor, and it breaks the fourth wall quite a bit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those. It looks like it can be a lot of fun if you don't take it seriously.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't really play anything else. I slept a bunch.
Right, okay.
Oh, I bought a couple of things on my 3DS, actually, because I had a big train journey on Saturday when I went back to visit my parents.
Right, okay.
So I picked up Ocarina of Time 3D, because that's just been added to the classics or the selections or whatever.
Yeah, whatever they call it, yeah.
Versions. So it was like £16, so I picked that up. You get a physical copy cheaper than that, but that was the digital one I got.
Right, okay.
That game's pretty good. This Ocarina of Time, they made it look prettier. Runs really well on the 3DS. I've actually not played a massive amount of it. I played past the first dungeon, and then my girlfriend stole my 3DS, and she's been playing it. So.
All right, okay.
She's been playing it all day today.
That's nice.
All she's been doing today is playing Zelda. So she's finished the first three dungeons and has got to the point where you turn into Adult Link, and then the proper kind of more difficult stuff starts, and I think that's where I left her when we came to record this podcast, so I have no idea. She could be way further than that.
Right.
But I'm not that far.
Cool.
I'm sorry.
No, you carry on. I'm just looking. I was going to tell you some of the things I'm seeing in this Big in Japan sale.
All right. Well, the only other thing was I picked up the Sonic 2 3D Classics thing. Another one of Sega's 3D games.
All right, okay.
And then proceeded to not play any of it because I sat and played Outrun 3D for almost the entirety of the train journey, because Outrun is really fun, as it turns out.
Oh, Outrun is amazing.
Also, I'm on the 3D,
on the 3DS. Yeah, I stick with it and unlock all the different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. It's really good.
I really like it. But yeah, that was all I played, really.
All right, okay. Cool. Before I get into what I've been up to, I'm just looking at this. There's actually quite a lot of decent stuff in here. If you don't have it, you should maybe consider getting it. They've got some Sword Art Online stuff. Not really a big fan, but, you know. They've got a couple of the PS1 games as well. So Resident Evil Director's Cut, Resident Evil 3. For £3.29 a piece.
That's cool.
A Persona 4 Golden for a fiver.
That's a bargain.
I also actually
recommend people pick that up soonish if you're interested in it at all, because that wasn't published by Atlas, if I remember right. It was published by NIS.
That's right.
And so was another Atlas game, Dragon's Crown.
Yes.
And Dragon's Crown got delisted earlier today because the license ran out and Atlas didn't renew it. So a good chance that Persona 4 Golden will at some point be taken off of the store, in which case it's probably good to own it because it stays in your download list forever, even if
you take it off the
store. It's not like PT.
Yeah. There is Persona 4 Golden Dancing All Night for £10.
I really like that game. I reviewed that game.
Yeah, you did, yeah. I'm tempted to pick that up.
You'd probably quite enjoy it.
Yeah, they've got Metal Gear Solid for £4 and the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. So that was a MGS 2 and 3 for £9.50 or 5 at each.
Those work really well on the Vita. I think they were in PlayStation Plus at one point as well.
One of them was. I'm not too sure which one it was. I think it was. Was it three?
I think it was. It might have been both in the collection.
All right. I'm just having a look. Yes, it was. It was the collection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is also Earth Defense Force 2, which is quite good.
Yeah,
Trillion God of Destruction, that's rather new, isn't it?
It might be. Actually, yeah, I remember us joking about it before.
Yeah.
Isn't that
yeah.
one of the booby games?
It is, yes.
I mean, what?
I never heard anything.
Never heard anything.
Yeah, you're okay. Gravity Rush for £6.50.
Yay! The remaster is also on sale. I'd probably recommend the remaster over the base game at this point.
All right, okay. All the Final Fantasy stuff is on sale as well.
That's so, always on sale.
Yeah, Final Fantasy Tactics and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9.
Is it the PSP version of Tactics, or is it the PS1 version? Because that PSP port was pretty good.
It's War of the Lion.
Yeah, it's PSP version. It's a good version.
Yeah.
The Soul Sacrifice games are on sale.
Oh, wow. The Cydia games are on sale as well.
Tons of stuff are on sale. Danganronpa.
Vagrant Story, Silent Hill, both the PS1 versions. The Danganronpa games. Tekken 2 and Tekken. The originals. Everybody's Golf, Ninja Gaiden, a lot of Disguise. Yeah, definitely we should be checking it out.
Yeah, some stuff.
Cool.
I might pick something up. I didn't realise that much stuff was on sale. The third birthday is on sale.
Oh, that's the... What one's that?
Parasite Eve.
Yes.
That doesn't... I could be wrong, but I prefer that doesn't usually go on sale very much.
No, it doesn't really. And that was the PSP game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Parasite Eve 2, which is the PS1 game, is on sale as well.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't think the first Parasite Eve is on PSN.
No, I don't think it is. The Virtue's Last Reward games are on there as well.
Virtue's Last Reward's great. The third one of those just came out as well.
All right, okay.
I forget the name of it. Zero Time Dilemma, I think it is.
I think so, yeah.
Something like that. Zero Escape, Zero Time Dilemma.
Yeah.
That just came out like yesterday or 2 days ago or something.
Right.
It's getting like great reviews. I really want it because I really liked Virtua's Last Reward.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in there to be checking out anyway. Cool. I have been busy with quite a lot. I've been trying to stave off boredom. quite a bit as well, so I'll get to a point where I'll put a game in, I'll play a little bit of it and I'll get fed up. So I've been playing things like on the Xbox One I was playing Zuma and Peggle of all things. Don't ask.
Peggle's good. I like Peggle.
Zuma as well. They weren't too bad. My PS4 died.
It did.
It did, yes. The disk drive went on it yesterday, actually. So the day before we were recording. It was 2 days ago. So it died in the night, and then I went through the whole day trying to see if I could fix it and ended up getting a replacement for it. So I got the... a terabyte model, and it came with the new Lego Star Wars game as well.
All right.
Yeah, a decent bundle as well, because
just came out.
Yeah, so it came with that, and it also comes with a copy of the Force Awakens on Blu-ray.
So all the good stuffs.
all the good stuff, yes. So not too bad. I had a quick look at Lego Star Wars. So I played the first level, well, a little bit of the first level, and it does something nice. It plays not only the, you know, so it's not just the Force Awakens. It does a little bit leading up to it as well, and I'll leave it at that. Because that's about as much as you get from the back of the box as well, so I'm not going to give you any more details. But if you like the Lego Star Wars games, really cool. It's one of, well, it's the first Star Wars game where they're using the voices, and I think it's the actual lines from the film as well.
Yeah, it's
the proper cast as well.
Yeah, that, from what I understand, yes, they got the cast to record some extra lines and stuff for
them. Yeah, so it sounds really good. And yeah, I'm not going to say anything. I was going to say something else, but it was going to spoil it. But yeah, check that out if you like them. It's got the usual, you know, humor in it as well. Cool. It's got split screen, or, you know, two player. You can play on the same console. If the characters get too far away, the screen splits in two.
Yeah, it's got the smart split screen again.
Yes, yeah. I really like, yeah. I like that, yeah.
Does it have any online multiplayer this time?
I don't know. I literally had it on for 15 minutes. It says 1 to 2 players and network features, so I'm not too sure.
Oh, maybe. It may just be leaderboards or something, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not 100% sure of that. But yeah, so I've just been sorting stuff out in the PS4 as well. I downloaded and played that Blue Estate demo. The reason I downloaded that and considering buying it is because it does the two player and I now have two controllers.
All right.
So, you know, I was looking at a couple of games that I can play with my fiance, and, you know, things like light gun games and the Lego games, yeah. Perfect as well. You know, that those kind of fun games and things like that.
Yeah, stuff that's not super serious.
Yeah, yeah. So, and just having a look what I had in the library, and I've got, like, Sports Friends and things like that as well, which is always cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Play some Super Pole Riders.
Yep. Yeah, which is always good fun.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting some of the Jackbox games as well, because I've got those in piece, but, yeah.
Definitely worth investing in those.
Yes, yeah, definitely. What else have I been playing? I'm playing a couple of games for review, and I also got a shot of a game that you reviewed for the website, which was Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
All right. How much did you get to play with?
I played So I got the opening story bit.
Yeah.
Out the way, and you get released and you come into the open world,
mm-hmm.
and you start running around, and there's a bit where you have to, it's not very far into it, you have to activate the kind of guide, you know, you push down the thumbstick and you can see where you need to run, and there's a part where you need to do a wall run, climb onto a drain pipe, climb up it, jump onto the next drain pipe, and then jump again.
Mm-hmm.
I failed that bit 5 times. I turned it off.
Fair enough.
The biggest thing, if you remember, Kieran, my biggest thing that I didn't like about Mirror's Edge was kind of the way they handled the... I did like some of the, you know, the parkour stuff, but the thing that kind of annoyed me was you push the same button for doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you would push the button or you would hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still using that. And it's... I don't know. I don't know if it's me or just the mood that I was in when I was trying it. And I thought, nah, it doesn't feel intuitive at all. It doesn't feel like I'm doing anything. I'm just pushing forward on the stick. And at the right time, I'm pushing, you know, the bumper button. It felt like I could have been doing anything else. It just it doesn't feel.
I mean, you say that, but then you also say you failed the same bit 5 times.
Yeah. yeah, because it doesn't. It just doesn't feel. I don't know. Should I be tapping the button? Should I be holding it down?
I mean, the general, like, tutorial thing basically is, like, L1 is your jump button.
Yeah.
And you can hold it to bounce off of things, essentially. Like, to get a bigger jump. But that's kind of...
Yeah, I don't know. I must have been missing something. Because there was no way going from one... I'm at the top of the drain pipe and I'm meant to move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe I'm not clearing, you know, getting enough distance between, in, you know, my jump. I'm not getting close enough.
Yeah.
No, I think I must have been touching a wrong button or something. And I thought, you know what, it doesn't. Nah, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
There was no that. I get what you were saying about the story.
Yeah, the story.
Generic. It's just fished out of. There was no. I felt no need to actually go any further in it. And that could have just been my frustration at failing, you know, quite earlier on as well. But yeah, I have a. Is that actually a copy that I've borrowed from Ben? So Ben sent it along so I can have a go at it while I'm recovering. So I will probably I'll give it another little bash before I send it back.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Either you like it or you don't. Is
yeah,
it's a very
I'm not going to say I'm not going to sit here and say it's badly designed and it's rubbish and
parts of it is.
It does. It looks very. It does look very good, and it's made for people that that like the first one. So
It's one of those things that when you get into flow with the platforming, it kind of feels really good. But then if you don't, then it just feels really clunky. So it's...
Yeah, I think that's what I was feeling. It just feels like... I would have liked a couple of more button presses, you know, different button presses to do something.
They do eventually... They do add more mechanics as you go along. And there are more buttons and stuff. At the very least, there's a slide button, which also works as a roll when you're landing from high distances.
Yeah, I've used the slide button, yeah.
Yeah, and there's the way it kind of puts the combat into your platforming in a weird way. So I explain it for you. You have these kind of momentum attacks that basically if you attack with the direction and you're kind of moving at a speed, it'll do tons of damage and most of the time just be like one-hit kills, basically.
All right.
So it's this weird thing that kind of encourages you to continue moving at all times, even when you're attacking people.
Right, okay.
And that stuff all flows together really well. The main issue with it is things like in the story mode, a handful of the missions make you fight against waves of enemies. In that case, you can't really, you know, continue running at all times because there's nowhere to run to because you're fighting a wave of enemies.
Right.
But yeah, it's one of those games that if the core mechanics don't really click with you, it's just not for you.
I think so, yeah. I did like the fact that they changed the combat.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, the combat's more a bit of a button mash and the square button.
Yeah, and no more shooting.
Yeah, no more shooting, which was good.
Some parts of the combat I thought worked really well, like the momentum stuff. Then other bits, less so. Like, they have this stuff where, there's basically a dodge button.
Right.
But it never works. Like, it just never works, just ever. So I just never used it. There was a point where I tried to use it for quite a while, and it just never worked, and I gave up and was just like, you know, I could just run away, and then wall run off this wall, and they'll kill you in one hit, so why would I bother doing the proper way of killing you, because this works better.
Yeah. So I, apart from having a go at that, I've got two games that I'm playing for review, and so busy working through those. The first one is Valentino Rossi, the game. So Valentino Rossi, this is the MotoGP game. So what they've kind of done with this one is it's sort of like Colin McRae.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the MotoGP game, but they've taken, you know, the most well-known figure at the moment and the current champ, Valentino Rossi, and they've added a whole load of things to it as well. So the idea of the game is, apart from having the 2015 and 2016, I beg your pardon, 2016 official seasons of the MotoGP, you also have a career mode. And the story of the career mode is you are part of the VR 46 team. I think it's 46. It's his racing number. And VR obviously is the initials. And so you're part of this team, and Valentino will speak to you through the game, and he'll say, right guys, we do a little bit of training, and the training is they race on flat tracks. So apart from having the full MotoGP experience where you can race in the, you know, the Moto3, the Moto2, and obviously the MotoGP, so the different classes of bikes, you race on flat tracks. So that's kind of like you're racing on scramblers, and it is a flat dirt track, and the thing about it is more about drifting. Okay. So it kind of gets you used to how you turn in bike racing games.
Yeah, that's probably quite a good thing, because I know that when I first started playing bike racing games, that was always the thing that I struggled with the most, is because turning is very different.
Yeah, so you've got that. It's, you know, it is always about the speed that you come in, but it's not only the speed, it's about leaning in at the right times and things. If you lean in too early and too slow, you end up cutting corners. What this game does as well is, when you're on any track, doesn't matter the mode, if you cut a corner, it adds time, it gives you a time penalty, and adds it onto your final time. So you may finish the race in first place, but if you have 3 seconds of time penalties, it adds it on, and that may put you in 10th place by the end.
Okay.
So that is, I quite like that idea. It's fine.
Yeah, cool.
The game does have the rewind feature, so they still use that quite a bit.
That's good.
The way that I've been playing and the way I've been getting on with it, I've been using the rewind feature less and less. The only time I've been using it is if I cut a corner and I don't mean to. I'm not too bad at that, but the main time now that I'm using the rewind feature is when one of the cats jumps in front of either the television or on my controller, and the bike goes all over the place.
That's probably the intended use for it.
I think so, yes. So that's fine. There is also rally driving in the game with cars.
Okay, that's weird.
It's weird. So I think because I'm, you know, I don't follow the MotoGP as much as I used to. So there's three riders that I know from the official seasons, Valentino Rossi being one of them. But from what it looks like, Valentino Rossi is involved in other bits of motorsport. Most of these guys are, you know, they'll do different things in their spare time. And it looks like the flat track racing and the, I'm just looking at the back of the game, the Monza Rally Show are things that he does in real life.
Yeah.
And they've been incorporated into the game as well. So you're kind of getting three games in one. You know, you're getting three different kind of disciplines. You're getting the MotoGP, this strange flat track racing, and this rally driving. But the rally driving is normally on a Grand Prix course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've taken like a tarmac track, and they've put chicanes in it, and they put the hay bales where you do hairpin turns around them and things like that.
So it's more a rallycross stuff then.
Yeah.
Although I guess even rallycross has a mix, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is. It's a bit of a strange thing, but
yeah,
it works. It's not too bad. And there are also drift challenges. So the other car discipline that you have is, so the Monza Rally Show, they put you in, I think it's a Ford Focus, you know, your standard kind of rally car. And then they also have drift challenges, and they put you in, you go to a track at Misano, and they put you in Ford Mustangs. Huh. And you do drift challenges.
Weird. It seems like such a weird game.
Yes. It works quite well. It's not... The drifting is... the way that you do a drift in the Mustangs is you just turn hard and accelerate. You know, so you don't... There's no handbrake or anything like that in normal driving games. They've simplified things a little bit. It still works. And I think the reason that they've, you know, that they haven't went back to, oh, right, you do a drift like you would do a drift in a car, is because they're trying to teach you how to drive the motorbikes.
Yeah.
So there's sort of method in their madness, and it works. It gives you a little bit of variety into it. It is different. It's kind of hard to get your head round and things like that, but I think it is. It's Milestone's best game to date, I think.
Oh, really? Better than Ride.
Yes, it is better. It's better looking than Ride.
Oh, that's good.
The bike physics have been improved. There's a couple of things with this game, though. So, you know, MotoGP or in real life and also in this game, there's some tracks that you would know from doing circuit racing in other games. One of them is Le Mans. So the Le Mans GP track is, I think it's in Project Cars, it's in Ride, it's in Forza, it's in plenty of games. It's also in Valentino Rossi. What I've noticed in this one is the track is narrower.
They do... they don't necessarily make the track narrower, but they have alternate routes and stuff like that they use for bike races compared to car races usually.
Correct. Yes, that's right. But so this track is, I know this track.
All right.
Right. So that it's the same track that you'll find in Project Cars and other racing games. But the track has actually in the game it's narrower.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice.
I think they've done that to... I could be totally wrong, but it does feel narrower.
Yeah.
When you're driving on it and you're going... Because there isn't much room for you to swing, and you go, well, hang on a sec, if I was driving, you know, a Ferrari Enzo, there's not enough room on the track for two of those side-by-side.
Yeah.
You know, you can barely get three bikes side-by-side going around that track.
Mm-hmm.
So they've probably done that more for kind of like a skill level and just for the sake of the game, because if it was too wide, then you wouldn't need to improve, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the track was really wide, you don't have to nail the corners as much.
Yeah, there's more room for error.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, so I think it is. It's the best effort so far. It's definitely better looking than Ride. It's still not there. The games. It's kind of hard to explain. Have you played any of the MotoGP games at all?
I played whichever one we got on PlayStation Plus for the Vita. I played quite a bit of that actually. I quite liked it.
Right. If you play that and you play Valentino Rossi,
mm-hmm.
you know it's the same company. And
yeah, they've definitely got a feel. Like, even when I played the demo for Ride, I was like, oh yeah, this is those guys.
Yeah. There is they've increased or they've improved the bike handling definitely between MotoGP that was 13 and this one.
Mm-hmm.
but it does feel the same. The presentation in Valentino Rossi, where somebody talks to you, is almost the exact same as the Sebastian Loeb game, the rally game that came out earlier this year. Very similar to one of their other games. I'll talk about it as well. MXGP2. If you played the WRC games as well before Sebastian Loeb, so the WRC4, I think, was the last one. Presentation to that and MotoGP 13, they all have this kind of, hey, welcome to the game, time to pick your riders, what does he look like, and you go through all of that. Oh, you haven't told us your name yet, and it's got this, you know, there's a voice that's talking to you and telling you what to do every time you select a new mode of the game, you know, it's someone's talking to you and things like that. So that is, it does, you know, it's more or less the same game no matter which one you're playing.
It seems like they're getting better with each try. Like, those games have been good, but they've always been kind of flawed, low-budget kind of things. But yeah, it does seem like they're getting better. It kind of makes me interested in Ride 2 later this year.
So, Rossi is, it's definitely better than Ride. In terms of the gameplay, they get the bikes feel a lot more improved. I don't know how, it's kind of hard to explain. Definitely the gameplay, the feeling on the bikes and all of that stuff feels better. But in some of the tracks, they don't look, you know, that hasn't changed. So it's kind of like they're using the same engine, but they're doing tweaks to the experience of playing the game. So you, you'll be playing the game and you think, oh, I'm having a good time in that, but it looks a wee bit low budgety.
I think there's not so much you can do.
With every game, you know, like you say, that they're improving every game. They'll tweak something and it does something better than the last one done. And it seems to be coming in waves. Valentino Rossi is the best one so far.
That sounds cool.
I can recommend it. There's not many other really MotoGP games that you can play. But it is, it's better than Sebastian Loeb, the rally game. That game is okay, but it's not a patch on Dirt Rally. You know,
things are.
But I would, you know, I can turn around right now and hand them a heart. I can say, yeah, you should check out Valentino Rossi if you fancy a bike racing game. There's no caveat with that or anything. But if you said to me, what do you think of the Sebastian Loeb game? We'd be having a big, long conversation about maybe you should go and check out this game or that game. And then in the end up, I'd still tell you to go and buy Dirt.
Or buy a PlayStation Now subscription, play one of the old Dirt games.
But yeah, so it's quite good. The other game that I've got for review as well is, again, it's another milestone game. It's MXGP2.
Okay.
So that's the motocross game. Again, same thing. The game looks better, but it does feel like the previous one, MXGP. And also, I don't know if we got it for PlayStation Plus, but there's a motocross version on the PS Vita called Mud. Bought it. When you play that game, it feels like this. It looks like it as well. Obviously, it looks a little bit better because it's on PS4. There are improvements to the game. The game feels, it feels better. It definitely feels like there's an improvement, and the movement of the bike feels a lot better. But my fiance, who was watching me play it, turned around and she went, "That looks a bit janky."
Mm-hmm.
It looks worse than it plays. is the best way to kind of put it across. But if you're into those types of games, yeah, again, it's quite good. There is a shitload of content in both of these games. So in the MXGP game, you've got the official 2015, I don't know why it's the 2015 season, but you've got the official 2015 season. There is the Monster Energy, it's the motocross nation thing. So it's a different type of motocross where riders will race, and instead of racing for themselves, they're racing for their country. And it's every country against themselves, and you know, you get points, and the country with the most points at the end wins. There is indoor stadium, so there's indoor stadium racing and things like that. And that looks a lot better. The indoor stuff looks a lot better than it did in previous games. So they have, again, been tweaking as they go along, but it feels like they're using the same engine as MXGP and even Mud. And Mud, I think, was 2012 or 13.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It seems to be Milestoner going step by step, slowly but surely. And they're raising their profile as they do every game. But there's a shitload of games that they're bringing out this year. Well, they've already brought out this year.
Yeah.
And there's another one as well. There's the Ducati anniversary game as well.
I'd be interested to see how big their schedule is, because they do pump out quite a lot of these games.
Yes, yeah. But the definitely the jewel in the crown at the moment, for me anyway, is the Valentino Rossi game. It does feel like it's elevated things, and they've stepped up the game a little bit. So I'm interested to see what they do, because I would love to see them. I'd love to see the rally game be on par with what Codemasters are pumping out.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, to do two excellent rally games, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah,
it's also good to have choice.
Yes,
it's good to see. Even if maybe their quality isn't quite as good as Codemasters is yet, but there's not a massive amount of racing games coming out.
Yeah.
Outside of kind of the big few.
Yes.
So it's always good to see.
Yeah.
Better and better.
Yeah. The Rossi game as well, if you want, you know, sort of realistic, it's better than Drive Club anyway. You know, Drive Club bikes, we've spoken about it.
They were fun, but they didn't really control well. They were just really arcadey.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely worth checking out. And MXGP2, I think, is more specialised if you like motocross and things like that. It can be fun, although going for the price of it, I don't know if I would have bought it. But I think I need to spend a little bit more time with the modes and things like that. I haven't spent as much time as I have with Valentino Rossi to make up my mind yet. So kind of my thoughts, I'm spewing them out as I go along, and I'll obviously organise them and put them into a review at one point as well.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Cool. I think that's it. I don't think I've played anything else of note anyway. I bought Civilization 2 on PlayStation Vita.
Oh, Revelations 2. Or Revelations 2.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And I haven't spent that much time with it, but it's not bad. But I need to put more time into it. But that's probably not going to happen thanks to Fire Emblem.
Cool.
Bastard of a thing. But cool. That's it. Have we got any news to kind of talk about?
I've got a couple of things here.
Cool.
So the first one is the PlayStation Plus games for this month.
I've seen this.
It's got announced, or for next month, I guess, for July. They come out next week. So we have Saints Row 4, Guy of Hell for PS4.
Cool. I'm actually looking forward to that because I never got to play it when it came out.
It's all right. It's not as good as 3 or 4, but it's a fun little standalone thing. It plays really well. There's not a lot of kind of writing or humour in it, was my main issue with it.
All right.
Just because it was this weird side thing they made.
Yeah.
But it still plays really well, so it's fun to just kind of fly around the world and beat things up.
Right.
Fury, which is that kind of weird anime bullet hell action game.
Yeah, every level is like a boss fight.
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah.
It looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fat Princess for PS3.
Uh-huh.
Call of Juarez, Bound in Blood for PS3. That's a very good game.
I never played it.
I think that's one of the good ones, at least. Call of Juarez was kind of all over the place.
Yes,
I think most of them were good except for that present day one, which I'm pretty sure Bound in Blood is not that.
Right.
Because most of them were like westerns.
Yeah.
Except for one of them, which was about the cartel. It was like a thing, and it was bizarre and terrible.
Right.
Prince of Persia Revelations for PS Vita.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Actually a PSP game. It's
yeah, I was going to say.
It's Prince of Persia 2, I believe.
Right.
And then Orochika Tainted Bloodlines, which is an actual PS Vita game. That's an RPG, a JRPG that's apparently very good.
Right.
It's one of those ones that has kind of like family trees, and you're kind of like essentially breeding better characters, stuff like that, from what I understand.
Right.
Kind of like Fire Emblem, introduced in the more recent ones, where you can have kids that gain their same stats and stuff like that. What else we got here? I don't have the Xbox Gold releases for this.
I've not heard anything yet.
I saw them, but I've not. Give a second, I'll get them up. Xbox Live Games with Gold for July 2016. Oh yeah, I remember now. So for Xbox 360, there'll be Rainbow Six Vegas 2, which is a very good game.
Right, okay.
And Tron Evolution. Which I quite like Tron Evolution. It wasn't great, but it was pretty.
I don't think I played that.
It was kind of a weird, like, Prince of Persia style platformer, but it was a tie in to the Tron Legacy film.
Right.
It was quite cool. Had a decent soundtrack, had a good look to it. Like, it looked very Tronish.
Alright.
It was fun. But then for Xbox One, the Banner Saga 2, which is a new game.
Ooh.
That's like brand new.
Yeah.
And also Tumblestone, which I don't know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what that is.
But yeah, Banner Saga 2 is a good get.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout.
Yeah. Other news stories. The long rumored BioShock the Collection has been announced.
Yes.
It will be coming out on the 16th of September.
Right, okay.
And it contains BioShock, BioShock 2, BioShock 2 Protector's Trials DLC, BioShock 2 Minerva's Den DLC, BioShock Infinite, BioShock Infinite Clash in the Clouds and Columbia's Finest Packs, and BioShock Infinite Burial at Sea Episodes 1 and 2.
Oh, nice.
And it sounds like from this statement they kind of gave out about it, BioShock 1 and 2 will be remastered.
Right.
I didn't really say how much. Just that it will be remastered.
Right, okay.
And Infinite kind of won't. And if you own BioShock 1 or BioShock 2 on the PC, you will automatically get an update that gives you the upgraded version.
Oh, okay. That's quite cool.
But the other thing is they have a director's commentary. So they have a bunch of commentary stuff built into it with Ken Levine.
Oh.
That stuff won't be cool. In the update. You need to buy the proper remaster version for that for some reason.
Oh. Well, that's a bit strange.
Weird.
Even if they kind of like sold that to you for a certain price, that'd be alright.
Yeah, maybe they will. Maybe they'll sell it as its own little DLC thing. Because it doesn't sound like it's... I don't think it's like how Valve does their commentary stuff, where you walk around and you kind of see stuff. I think it's just commentary videos.
All right, okay.
But I'm not sure. But yeah, that seems pretty cool. I'll probably pick that up.
Yeah.
I could replay BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Final Fantasy VII Monopoly is coming out.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
Does it?
Well,
Does it really make?
yes, but I'm not saying Monopoly is an awesome game. I just
I'm not saying
think
Final
it.
Fantasy VII is an awesome game.
No. I liked Seven. It wasn't the best.
It was alright, yeah. I don't actually have to get seven.
Yeah, I just seen it and I thought, yeah, that looks quite awesome for kind of nostalgia's sake.
The pre-order page isn't up anymore. I think it got too much attention.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it was just more nostalgia and I thought, oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't be, you know, desperate to buy it, I think.
No, I'm definitely not.
If I had money burning a hole in my pocket and, you know, I didn't have to, you know, do stuff like eat or live or anything, yeah, I'd buy it, but
Maybe it'll be the big thing at Essen.
oh, yeah, sure.
This is the year Monopoly catches on at Essen.
Yeah.
Oh, also PlayStation Plus. I realize I missed a bit of PlayStation Plus. Part of the PlayStation Plus for next month is also entry into the early access version of Paragon.
Oh yes, yeah, you get is it like a tenner's worth of characters or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I quite like Paragon, so it'd be good to have more players to play against.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, I don't know how much will click with you, but yeah, definitely try it.
Yeah.
One of the things I'll try. And then the one other bit of news I got here is kind of too big to actually go through, but there's a really big update for Stellaris, which changes a crap ton of stuff.
Right, okay.
So I will probably play that and check back in again like next week or something.
Right, okay, just let us know.
Yeah, but they changed a bunch of stuff, like how they changed how a lot of how the diplomacy and alliances and stuff like that work. Because you could definitely get to a point in the game where you'd befriended the people you'd befriended, and that was kind of it. Like, nothing would really change ever.
Right.
Now it's a bit more dynamic, and things change quite a bit more, and things like that. At least that's the idea. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot more options.
Right, okay.
I'm looking forward to trying it out. Because I really like Stellaris still.
Yes. Would never have guessed
Yeah, I know. It's not like I ever talk about it ever.
that.
But that's all the news I've got.
Right, okay, cool. Having a look to see if we've got anything to talk about, sort of things coming out. A couple of things coming out which we already spoke about in our last podcast, like the Star Ocean stuff like that. I've only got three games kind of listed for the week after that. So week ending the 8th of July, Airport Architect. I wonder if is that got anything to do with Prison Architect?
I'm pretty sure it does not. I'm pretty sure it's not remotely. I could be wrong.
Damn. Damn. From UIG Entertainment, it's coming out for the Wii U, PS4, and Xbox One, so possibly not. I don't know. There is also Carmageddon Max Damage for PS4 and Xbox One. And Romance of the Three Kingdoms 13.
Those games are supposed to be really good. I've never played one.
Never played one as well. So, yeah, that's kind of everything that's listed there. And then there's a couple of things for the week after that. And then week after that, two things. So there's not much coming out at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
August is where we start to see all the the bigger things. Although July 26th, We Happy View is meant to be hitting.
Yeah, that should be good.
Yeah, so looking forward to that anyway.
Cool. Yeah, there's some good stuff.
Yeah. So, is there anything, have we missed? Anything that you played? Board games? Have you played any board games?
I've not had a chance to play board games. Yeah, I need to get board games in soon.
Yeah, me too. Once I can actually... I'm still not allowed to lift anything. Once I can pick up things, I might organise a board game day.
Just get people come to you.
Yeah, true.
Just put, I'm sick, come play board games. just give it to people. It'll work.
Yeah, you've might be an it. Idea. Excellent. Cool. So if you want to send us an email, if we did miss anything or we got something wrong, you can send us an email to podcast@glitchfreegaming.com. Almost forgot it there. At Twitter, you can find us at @glitchfreegame, and you can search us on Facebook. Just search for Glitchfree Gaming on Facebook and you'll find our Facebook page, and you can interact with us that way. Also, don't forget the website, www.glitchfreegaming.com, and we've Ben is pumping out reviews and content on there. That we have got some of our awesome friends doing some cool reviews and stuff like that, so you can go and check that stuff out as well.
Cool.
Excellent.
I'll write Guilty Gear review at some point.
You didn't tell us you were playing that.
I didn't really have much to add since last week. Like, I've been, it's a fine game. I've been playing right stuff. I've been jumping online, and it's that thing where there's not a lot of people online. Guilty Gear's not like the biggest series in the world.
Yeah.
But the people that are online are really good at Guilty Gear, as it turns out. So I've lost every game so far. Yeah, I'm supposed to be playing it with a couple of friends over the weekend, so I should be able to get a bit more local stuff in and be able to get a better kind of opinion of it. But
yeah,
at the moment, it's kind of... I didn't really talk about it because it's just more Guilty Gear.
Uh-huh.
You know that way where they did Blaze Blue, like, Calamity Trigger, and then they did Blaze Blue, whatever the second one was.
Yes.
Was Chrono Phantasma, but that was the third one, I think. But you know, they did a bunch of BlazBlue games that had very minor changes that just kind of added a bunch more characters, had different story, but the main thing was kind of still the same.
Yes.
It's kind of just that for Guilty Gear.
Alright, okay.
Which is great because it's a great game and it plays great and your characters play great, but you know, it's not... It's hard to get super excited about it and talk about it a bunch, but it's like, it's the same thing I talked about a couple of years ago.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's that.
Cool. Excellent. So I think with that, the only thing left to do is thank you all once again for downloading our nonsense and listening to it. And we will then see you same time next week then.
Yes.
Cool. Excellent. Bye. Until then, bye.
150.
Yay.
Yay.